ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
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 श्रीमद् भागवतम कांटो 1 चैप्टर 3 टेक्स्ट 7 ट्रांसलेशन एंड कमेंट्री बाय His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Dvitiyang tu bhavayasya rasatala gatang mahim udharishyan upadatta yagyesha sokarang vapuhu. Dvitiyang tu bhavayasya rasatala gatang mahim Udharishyan upadatta Yagyesha saukaram vapuhu Dvitiyam tu bhavayasya Rasatala gatang mahim Udharishyan upadatta Yagyesha saukarang vapuhu. Translation: The supreme enjoyer of all sacrifices accepted the incarnation of a boar, the second incarnation, and for the welfare of the earth, he lifted the earth from the nether regions of the universe. Do you know what that means, nether regions? It's Srila Prabhupada's English is, it's old style. So it means the very low, it's usually equated with the, with hell, but it means the lower regions. In Sanskrit it's saying nimna, lower, like that. Purport. The indication is that for each and every incarnation of the personality of Godhead, the particular function executed is also mentioned. There cannot be any incarnation without a particular function, and such functions are always extraordinary. They are impossible for any living being to perform. The incarnation of the boar was to take the earth out of Pluto's region of filthy matter. Srila Prabhupada sometimes uses Pluto to synonymous with hell, or the lower region. It's stated here, Rasatala. That's, the lower region of the universe. Picking up something from a filthy place is done by a boar, and the all-powerful personality of Godhead displayed this wonder to the Asuras who had hidden the earth in such a filthy place. There is nothing impossible for the personality of Godhead, and although he played the part of a boar, by the devotees he is worshipped, staying always in transcendence. Varahadeva is the third in the Dashavatara and the second in this list of 21 avatars. Although there are avataram hi asankhyayam, undoubtedly uncountable avatars in every species of life. So, don't kill the flies. Never know. He might be the Supreme, an associate of the Supreme Lord. You can't, if he's the Supreme Lord in the form of a fly, you can't kill him at all. Interestingly, this comes just after the Well, it's the third chapter, and in the second chapter, there are many important statements in the second chapter regarding the process of hearing and chanting about Krishna, wherein it is stated, Bhagavat Tattva Vijnanam Mukta Sangasya Jayati. One is freed from all material attachments and bad qualities by hearing and understanding scientific knowledge of the personality of Godhead. Srila Prabhupada often liked to use that word scientific. And as you know, the word vigyan has been taken from Sanskrit to mean, to be used as a synonym for modern science. Because modern science, there's no term in the present idea of science. There's nothing like that exactly in the Vedic culture. Something like how there's no concept of religion in the Vedic culture as it's conceived in the modern age. This religion, that religion, another religion. So the word dharma has been used so that people think dharma means my dharma, your dharma, Hindu dharma, Christian dharma, Buddhist dharma. So the word dharma has been transformed from its... Well, the original meaning is still there, but it's taken to mean some kind of sectarian faith. Anyway, the idea that this is scientific knowledge of the personality of Godhead. And then the next chapter begins with listing various avatars of the Lord, the second of which in this list is Varahadev. Now, there may be various people who, with their various mental speculations, discuss what they might think the nature of Godhead might be. Personal, impersonal. This is the main discussion. But in their imagination, they would never imagine that he would come in the form of a hog. It's a real challenge. You might think, well, that's not scientific because God should be good and nice. There's nothing particularly good or nice or beautiful about Varaha. In fact, the word pig is commonly used to criticize someone. In English, you want to insult someone, you say they're a pig. In Russian also, I presume. Is it? Yeah. In Indian languages, it's not a pig, the son of a pig. Is it in Telugu also? Yeah. Son of a pig. Which means you're a pig, I guess, unless they did some special cloning and made a sheep come out of a pig or something like this. So it doesn't seem very scientific. You think, well, now we're having high Vedanta philosophy. Janmadhyasya yataha. Yes, now we're going to explain the... Vyasadeva himself will explain the secrets of Vedanta Sutra. Tato brahma jignyasa janmadhyasya yataha. The nature of Godhead. And one of his forms is a pig. And such a pig that comes out of the nostril of the four-headed Brahma and then picks up the earth. Sounds like a lot of fairy stories. Doesn't sound very scientific. Well, it requires faith in that which is achintya, that which is inconceivable by the various neurons within the brain. One has to go beyond the brain and come to the platform of transcendental faith. The story of the cobbler and the puffed up Brahmin is apt in this connection. So it does require faith, but not unreasonable by faith, but shastric faith. Or unreasonable in the sense it goes beyond human reason. Last night I was discussing with Vrajavilas Prabhu, who was telling me about some... Well, it's nothing unusual in the redesigned ISKCON of today, that there are devotees, but they also maintain the idea that, well, Western culture is very high class and civilized, and the materialistic and devotional at the same time. But the result of that is, if they're challenged, they won't be able to sustain faith in such descriptions as these. They means they kept some faith in this material world, some hope in this, or they have very high regard. Oh, Britain, very high culture. See, they very politely ask, please give me a little bit more roast beef. Very politely, you see, they'll ask. And they have rules of etiquette. You have to learn, if you're eating in a high-class restaurant, if you're eating your soup, whether it may be duck soup or lamb soup, then you have to tip. When you're scooping up the last bit, you have to tip it away from you, the bowl, not toward you. You see, it's very important. That shows your high class. Why? No such thing. But if you're to be high class, that's what you have to do. So, Bhagavatam, after making declaration, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Janmadyasya Yataha, also says, Dharma Projita Kaitava Atra. All nonsense is kicked out of here. And absolute sense is given, including that the Supreme Lord, according to His sweet will, appears as a transcendental bore. B-O-A-R. He's never boring. That's another. He's never dull. He's very interesting. So faith is required, and transcendental faith, that Krishna can do everything. If we keep faith in this material world, or think that especially if we keep faith in this lecher, so-called culture, we won't be able to appreciate Varaha Dev, which we shall do on this day. Very important statement in the purport by Srila Prabhupada. Of course, they're all important, but there cannot be any incarnation without a particular function. So the Lord, He doesn't just come and just say, here I am, everyone, come and worship me. But He has some particular purpose to fulfill for the benefit of the world every time. So this time He picked up the earth. In one of the appearances of Varaha, He killed Hiranyaksha. That's described in the Bhagavatam. So these were the functions. And Prabhupada says, such functions are always extraordinary. So if you think, well, how can God be a hog, and how can He pick up the earth? That's too much. Well, that's God. If it was something just, if it was just picking up 100 kilo weight or something like that, then He could be called a weightlifter. But to pick up the earth, that's beyond our imagination. That's, if at all God is going to come, then He should be doing something like that, not just picking up, just the example of the ocean and the well, the frog in the well. It's the ocean is so much bigger than His imagination that He just can't accept it. So God is so much greater, we should be prepared to accept it and not think that what reality is, whatever is within our experience. That is foolishness. Okay, the story is given in the Bhagavatam and in other shastras. There is the Varaha Purana is one of them. Brahma was thinking how to carry out the order or his task of creating the universe. He was meditating on this. Then a male, human male, Swayambhuva Manu, and the female named Shatarupa manifested from his body. Swayambhuva Manu, on the order of Brahma, accepted Shatarupa as his wife in order to help to populate the earth and oversee all this kind of thing. So Manu, he was supposed to help in the work of creation, but the earth is, all the planets supposed to be inhabited, but the earth had somehow become submerged in the waters of annihilation. That must mean from the previous annihilation. And Manu approached Brahma, praying him to rescue the earth. But when Brahma saw the earth deeply merged in the water, he thought about, well, how can it be rescued? He'd put the earth into its normal state after removing all the water, but he couldn't understand how the earth had again sunk down into the water. He thought, well, you know, what's going on? My whole creation, I'm supposed to be engaged in the creation, but in the course of doing it, there's been a serious mistake. Something's going on. So Lord Brahma couldn't think about what to do. He couldn't imagine what to do. And then, as all godly people do when they are bewildered in thinking what to do about something, when they're beset with a problem, he thought of Lord Vishnu. He meditated on Lord Vishnu. In such a situation, only God can help us. So he thought about him. While he was deep in thought of Lord Vishnu, a little boar, the size of a thumb, appeared from one of his eight nostrils. And that was pretty surprising. But he came out of his nostril and then assumed a great form, a very large form, flying in the sky. It went up in the sky. He expanded in the sky. and those rishis who are Marichi, the mental-born sons of Brahma, and the four Kumaras who are mentioned here in the first as the first of the 21 avatars, they were present and they saw this. They all beheld this, and they began to discuss, oh, what's going on? Brahma is supposed to be creating things, but a boar has been created from his nostril. They were surprised. What's going on? They began to discuss it among themselves. So they understood that this is actually Lord Hari, the Lord of Sacrifice, Yagyesha. That's described here in this Bhagavatam verse, here in this first canto, Yagyesha. Varaha, he's often called Yagya Varaha. He's often equated with the Yagyesha, the Lord of Sacrifice. So he's rescued the earth, and everything in the earth is to be offered to him. While Brahma and his associate, they're all his sons, they're all discussing, they're all sons but on the same level as him, or maybe even transcendentally more developed, they were discussing, Lord Varaha roared, said it like a mountain roaring. So you can imagine if a mountain roars, how loud it would be. So he was in the sky like a great mountain. He roared loudly. Again, and then he roared again. And the sound of the roar was very pleasing to the demigods. They thought it sounded very, very auspicious. And that it would, the very sound could destroy all the lamentation and all the suffering, all the misery of the hearers. So all the sages and the higher planets, they chanted auspicious mantras from the Vedas, understanding that actually this is Lord Hari, who out of his own will has manifested in this form. You wouldn't expect it. You couldn't have predicted it. But for his own will, out of his own will, he has taken this form. Then Varaha dived down deep into the water and slashing the sky and then the water with his tail. Why did he take this form? Well, that's described that pigs, they'll put their snout into the earth and try and see what's under, dig something up. So this was very suitable for him to go deep down into the water and pick up the earth. So while he was in the air, when you see pigs, their tail is quivering like this, and the hair on his head, the hair on his shoulders scattered the clouds. His hooves scattered the clouds. He looked very beautiful with his raised hairs and his shining white tusks and his great effulgence. So he looked very beautiful. So you may think, how can a pig look beautiful? It seems impossible. But actually, if you see the Dashavatar paintings by B.N. Sharma, who was empowered, no doubt, to paint the forms of the Lord, Sarasvati has entered his artistic sense, and he has made a very beautiful painting of Varahadeva. And there must be so many others in history. There must be so many paintings of Varahadeva. Still there are some old ones, but in the modern age that B.N. Sharma has painted very nicely. He searched for the earth. If you see a pig, have you seen the pigs that go around? How did they look? Not with their eyes. How did they look? And they're looking. You see, they put their snout close to the earth, and they're sniffing here and there. And then when they smell some stool, they think, that's very nice. That's how they find it. So Varahadev, looking like a pig, but looking very fearful. It must be very fearful to the non-devotees. Pigs are actually in the Western countries, they've bred pigs without hairs on the body, with domesticated pigs, but the wild pig or the forest pig is very dangerous. The male has big tusks and they can very easily kill a human. I mean, you wouldn't imagine the domesticated pigs, but their tusks are very dangerous. So he looked very frightful. They're aggressive also. The boar. Boar means the male pig. They're very aggressive animals, so they can be very dangerous. Still, there are some in India. I don't know if there are so many wild pigs in the forests, but you don't hear of them attacking people, is it? No, they just attack the crops at night. In Europe, in some places, in the forests, there are still some wild pigs. In Russia? Yeah. Do they come and spoil the crops also? The farming? They do that also. Do you have a problem in your area? Not in your area. Okay. So he looking very fearful, but the sages, understanding that he's Lord Hari, they were very pleased because they knew that he would be fearful to the demons and not to himself. So then he dived into the water of the ocean, and the ocean became very afraid. What's he going to do? He seems to be in an angry mood, and she prayed to him for protection. So the Lord of all sacrifices separated the water. He made a path with his hooves, and he saw that the earth was lying at the bottom, way down in the bottom. So Lord Varaha lifted the earth up by picking her up. We say the earth, we say her. She's female, Bhumi Devi, one of the seven mothers, the last one mentioned, Tathapriya. What is that? Atma Mata, Guru, Patni, Brahmani, Raja, Patnika, Tenu, Dhatri, Tata, Prithvi, Saptaita, Matara, Smitaha. So Mother Earth, she's the seventh mentioned, and Lord Varaha picked her up, and at that time he embraced her, and she is one of the Shaktis of the Lord, Bhu Shakti. So in here in South India we'll see always the where there's the deity of Narayana. There's also the always there'll be the small Utsav Murti, and generally he'll be accompanied by his two principal wives, Sri Lakshmi and Bhu. So Bhu means the earth in her demigoddess form. So he embraced her at this time, and as a result, the Naraka Asura. He was actually an Asura, born directly from the Lord, who was later killed by Krishna. So, so he picked her up, and at that time, Hiranyaksha came and said, "Hey, who the hell are you? I already conquered all the universe. What are you doing? This is my place. Get out of here." So Hiranyaksha, he was a fearsome demon. Hiranyaksha. Actually, the name itself is not so bad. Golden-eyed. So you can have a good name and be a bad person. It's quite possible. Even the name Duryodhana, it's a good name for a kshatriya. Means difficult to fight with, tough in battle. It can mean a dirty fighter also, one who fights not properly following the rules. He's sometimes called Suyodhana, one who fights very well. So Hiranyaksha, the incarnation of Vijay, the doorkeeper of Vaikuntha, who had come down to the material world, being cursed by the four Kumaras. So Hiranyaksha, a very fearsome demon, he'd conquered the whole universe just single-handedly, and he challenged Varahadev with his mace. So this is with his mace, mace. Mace means club, gada. So, this is a pastime of the Lord. He likes to fight. It's the nature of a living being that they like to fight. In this material world, the manifestation of it is not very good. It causes so many problems. Sometimes, or some endeavor to keep that under control is that in professional wrestling or boxing or sports, or competitions, or chess games. That propensity to fight is there. Who will the Supreme Lord fight with? Who is competent to fight with him? No one, but should be someone very powerful. So one of his, when he has to fight, sometimes he sends his own associates. So that was Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha. So as Varaha, he killed Hiranyaksha, and as Nrisimha, he killed Hiranyakashipu later. And just in the same Telugu-speaking area, there's the temple of Simhachalam, the Lakshmi Varaha Narasimha temple, where the Lord is there as Varaha and Narasimha. So, he was carrying away the earth, rescuing her, and Hiranyaksha thought, "What is this?" He challenged him with his mace. And Lord Varaha was very angry. Just like Hiranyaksha said, "Who are you? What is this, some pig?" And Varaha said, "And who the hell are you? Who appointed you to tell me what to do or to boss around anyone?" So there was a fight. Like a fight between a lion and an elephant. Can you imagine? In the forest, sometimes that used to take place. Fights between lions and elephants. Both of them are very competent to kill humans. To humans, both are very fearsome. The elephant is fearsome largely due to his size and his tusks. And the lion, size gives him great power also, and the lion is also very powerful and has claws and teeth. Vajra Nakka, Vajra Dangstra, like Nrsimhadev is described, his lion-like form as having nails and teeth, just like thunderbolts. So when they fight in the jungle, there would be a fearsome fight, but generally the lion will come out victorious. So in this case, Varaha killed Hiranyaksha, and the face of the Lord became red with the blood of the demon. So that's a decoration on the face of the Lord. We decorate the deities with various ornaments, but in this avatar, he's very happy to have the blood of his adversary spattered all over him. That's a great decoration for a fighter. A fighter should not come back from the battlefield without some injury. If you're really fighting hand to hand, then you should at least get injured. I know as a child I visited Glasgow, which is within mainland Britain, not including Northern Ireland. At that time, I don't know now, as I'm out of touch with Britain, but that was undoubtedly the most violent city, where there were gangs, and it was just considered normal for young men to have scars on their face from knife battles. They fought with knives, at least, not with guns. I don't know now, and like I said, I arrived there once. This was before I joined ISKCON. I arrived there once by bus, and in the bus station I went to the toilet, and there was an alcoholic, his whiskey bottle, he was trying to open it, but he'd opened it so that it was just going round and round, he couldn't get the top off. So he said, "Can I use your knife?" Because he wanted to cut the metal top off. He said, "I don't have a knife." And he said, no, just give me." I said, he showed me, "You see, I just want to get the top off." And he didn't believe that I didn't have a knife, because teenage boys in Glasgow, everyone has a knife. It's just like having a pair of shoes or something. Everyone has a knife, so they get scarred. And when you get a scar, that means, yeah, okay, now you've grown up. Now you're no longer a kid. If you in some fight, if you get a scar on your, someone knifes you, cuts your face with a knife, okay. Now, so like that, the Kshatriyas, they get scarred from real heavy battles. They should get scars on them. And that's a sign of their pride. Like Lord Shiva, sign the fact that his throat is discolored, that becomes a sign of pride. What great thing he's done by having this. The Lord Vishnu, he's known as Bhrigupad. That his great quality in accepting the mark of Bhrigu on the footprint of Bhrigu on his chest. So Vaishnavas, we don't have to go out and start cutting ourselves up and tattoos and all. Tilak, that's enough. That's our sign. That's our sign. This is our mark, that we are servants of Krishna. This is our sign, our identification. So Lord Brahma, he naturally is very happy, and all the sages and Brahma, they're praying with great happiness. Thank you, thank you. They're becoming afraid at one point that Hiranyaksha might. It was a fight. It wasn't just that Varahadeva just looked at him and then he died, which he could have done. But there was a full fight, and eventually Varaha seemed to just get fed up, and he just slapped him with one tusk and then he died. Like that. So then Varahadev placed the earth on the water and then disappeared from their vision. The Laghu Bhagavatamrita states that Lord Varaha appears twice in each day of Brahma. During the Swayambhuva Manvantara, he appeared from Brahma's nostril to rescue the earth. And during the sixth Manvantara, Chakshusha Manvantara, he appeared to rescue the earth and kill Hiranyaksha. So, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, the Jiva Goswami, I believe, in his commentary says that the two appearances, the story has become conflated in the Bhagavatam description. So it's not, we might say, well, it's fully accurate, but the two things are mixed up. Mm. So in the Laghu Bhagavatamrita, it is described that in the family line of Uttanapad, the son of Pracheta was Daksha. Then one of the daughters of Daksha was Diti, and one of the sons of Diti was Hiranyaksha. But at the time of the appearance of the first Varahadev, Adi Varaha, that's the name of a temple in Tamil Nadu, Adi Varaha, or the deity there, Adi Varaha Peruma. That was the first one. At the beginning of the Kalpa, Manu didn't have any sons or daughters. So how could Hiranyaksha taken birth during the Swayambhuv Manvantara? Therefore, in the Bhagavatam, Maitreya Rishi, it's understood, he described the pastimes two together. Maitreya described the two together. Then there are a few quotes from the Laghu Bhagavatamrita, which are extracted from the Bhagavatam and Matsu Purana. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is imperceptible to the mind. Adrisham. Adrisham manasapi. He's imperceptible to the eyes and to the mind. It's from Matsya Purana, who plays beautifully in the water and is the sounds of the Vedas, he's understood through the sounds of the Vedas. Remember when we think of the Vedas as books, but actually they're sounds, they're not exactly books. Vyasadev, he sorted out the Vedas and he divided the Vedas. The name Vyas means to divide. And he gave the Puranas and he personally composed Mahabharata and Vedanta Sutras. But the Puranas, that's a smriti that may have been in writing, but the Vedas, he divided them and gave them to different rishis to be the preceptors of the different Vedas, but he didn't write them. He didn't write down the Vedas. The Vedas were only to be in the form of sound. Therefore we say Shabda Pramana, Shruti. Shruti is only for hearing. It's actually considered sinful to write down the Vedas, or at least it was considered like that. It's only to be transmitted by sound. Ah. And then from the Dashavatara Stotram, Vasati Dashana Shikare Dharani Tava Lagna Shashini Kalanka Kaleva Nimagna Keshava Dhritta Shukara Rupa Jai Jagadisha Hare. O Keshava, O Supreme Lord, you have assumed the form of a boar. O Hari, Supreme Lord, the planet Earth, resting on your tusks, appeared like the moon engraved with spots. We also find in the Srimad Bhagavatam, in the prayers of the demigods to Lord Krishna when he was in the womb of Devaki, he's also mentioned Matsyavya Kachapa Nrsingha Varaha Hansa Rajanyavip. He mentions that previously you appeared as Matsya, Ashvagriva, which means Hayagriva, the horse form, Kurma, the tortoise, Nrsimhade, Varaha, so he's mentioned there, Hansa, Ramachandra, Parashuram, Vamanadev, and other forms. I sometimes wonder why Hayagriva is not mentioned. We have the Dashavatar, but Hayagriva is an important form. It's many times mentioned in Shastra. So, for some reason he's not there in the Dashavatar. That needs more research maybe. Dashavatar is described in the Vishnu Purana. All right, the fight between Hiranyaksha and Varaha. Hiranyaksha, and that's in chapters 18 and 19 of the third canto of Bhagavatam. Hare Krishna. So, that's a little bit about Lord Varaha. There's much more could be said. But I'll finish there, unless there are any questions or comments.
This Jayadev Goswami description, because he used the example of moon, should we understand it as Shvetavaraha?
As?
Shvetavaraha.
Who's rescuing the earth? Yeah. Who rescues the earth? Must be. Shashini Kalanka Kaleva Ramanimagna.
Guru Maharaj, the earth is portrayed as.
Oh, yeah. That's another thing. I was having that discussion with Sridhar Sham. There's this thing about whether the earth is a globe or it's flat. But in the traditional depictions of the Varaha Avatar, picking up the earth is portrayed as a globe. Gokul Chandra explained this to me once, because he spent a year with Dhanavir Maharaj. He spent a lot of time doing that research. It's round and flat, both. Bhumandala is flat. Mandala gives the idea of something.
Cluster.
Yeah.
Islands.
Yeah.
Oceans.
Yeah.
And mountains. So broader earth is flat, and the earth in which we live in is.
Oh yeah, that's the word, bhugol. That's the word which is used. Bhugol vidya means geography. So bhugol, gol means round. Anyway, as I said with Sridhar Sham, I can't put my head into cosmology. If I did, I could probably understand it, but there are so many other things to understand. Yeah. How many things can you put your mind into? I'm not a polymath, which means someone who knows a lot about many different things. So, whether it's round or whether it's flat, get the hell out of here. Go back to Godhead. But Prabhupada was very concerned to make this Vedic planetarium. So someone should understand it.
Many aspects of cosmology were very common in villages.
Oh, in the villages, of course, because the whole agricultural life goes on according to the Vedic calendar. So you have to plant such and such a crop on the Dvitiya Posh or something like that. Posh is the Bengali word for, I don't know what this, can't remember what the Sanskrit name is. That's in the winter. So, and then the festivals are according to it. So it's all linked, the calendar with astronomy. And people would know that the lunar day, because there are certain, on such and such a day you can shave, on such and such a day you should shave, on such and such a day you shouldn't shave. And then you have to consider the nakshatras also. There's so many considerations for agriculture, for health. As soon as in Bengal, as soon as the Chaitra Mas begins, which is when the it's been not very hot in the day and cool at night, but then it starts to get still somewhat cool at night, but hot in the day. Then you have to stop eating gur, because the date gur is very tasty there, but it's too hot, makes the body too hot. There's so many things people used to know. I think they forgot it all now. Ah, yeah, from the Purana. And it was just things that people knew. Everyone knew. But it's all going. It's intimately, the whole life was intimately linked with all this Puranic knowledge. Day-to-day life.
Many practical aspects also that defeat all this cosmology. Like even that simple Gani, you know, which the one bull will go round. That's just like Mount Sumeru and flat earth.
So that's like the sun going around the earth, is it? On the Manasotara mountain? The bull going round and round to whatever, pressing the oil, could be pressing oil, bringing up water, could be husking the grains, different things they do by going round and round. But which direction do they go in? Anti-clockwise? Clockwise, is it? Mm. Huh? Who said that? That's why. It's quite complex, because the sun is going in one direction, then the constellations maybe going in another direction at some point of the year. Yeah, that's why. I leave it to the experts. If you ever work it out, you could teach these boys.
Modern science
says, well, Pluto, this would have to be investigated, but Pluto was a name given to a so-called planet, which has been deplanetized. As far as I know, that was a synonym for hell in ancient Greek language. And Prabhupada used it in the sense of hell or the lowest region. He often used it in that sense. Not in the sense of the so-called planet Pluto. What happened to Neptune? That was supposed to be another discovered planet. Any idea? That also got demoted. Anyway. Hare Krishna! Varaha Deva Ki Jai!